Total Tuscany Podcast number 31. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. My partner, Pat Campagna, is looking at me like, what the heck are you doing? That's not our music.
I'm staring at him in the studio. He surprised me.
Here's why I surprised you. What does this music do for you?
I envision being in Italy in just a few days.
And I envision almost being in a kitchen, don't you?
Yeah, you're right. It's kitchen music. Just nice selection.
It's not something we're going to use each and every week, but this just kind of put me in the mood to talk about food. Wonderful Tuscan food, Pat.
That's an easy talk, isn't it?
It really is. If there's one thing that we look forward to on a regular basis is not going to see the sights, it's sitting down with a nice bottle of Tuscan wine and eating fabulous, fabulous Tuscan food.
You know, this is a great. I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time.
Real
chef.
Yeah, a real chef. But what's great about it? It's a great family story, and it's one that will draw inspiration for no matter what you do in following your dreams, and that is the most important. Our dream is to go to Tuscany. It's probably to live in Tuscany. But each and every one of us has a dream, and if we have that dream and we turn it into our passion, life can be so fulfilling. And that's what it is with today's guest. You'll see her on her wonderful blog where she posts wonderful pictures and recipes about the food she's making. She also teaches cooking classes in Tuscany. Welcome the editor and owner of JulesKitchen.com, Julia Scarpellaggio. Julia, I got to be honest with you. I'm fairly impressed because you've done so much stuff and you wanted to be an architect. Then you went into communications. You like the movies. You like swimming. How did you finally realize cooking and baking is what you wanted to do?
So basically, I always loved cooking since I was a child, but it was an unconscious passion, basically. So I was just baking and cooking and serving food to my family and friends. I was always around the kitchen, but it was something like given for me, as my grandmother is really good in cooking. So I didn't realize it could be something else, something more than just a passion. After a while, since like at every party I was in the kitchen, at every family gathering I was in the kitchen, I realized that cooking was really a part of myself. And so that's why I opened my blog almost 6 years ago, and everything changed from that moment. At the beginning, it was just for fun, just a passion, something I would do in my free time. But after a while, it took over my daily routine. So I was always on the blog and cooking after dinner, during the weekend. And that's how I realized I wanted to do something more with cooking.
Julia, did I understand correctly that you're actually living and cooking in the same home that your family and your grandparents grew up in?
Yes, exactly. So my grandmother was born here and my father was born here. And I always lived in the same house. I moved next door in my grandmother's house now. So my parents are living in what used to be my house, but it's like a big farmhouse. So we are all together into the same house.
So give us an idea, where exactly are you located, and what is that like living exactly where you grew up? Do you like that?
Yes, I really love this. So it's like 1 hour drive from Florence, half an hour from Siena, from San Gimignano, from Volterra, Colle Valdelsa, basically in the heart of Tuscany. This is my life. I've always loved and lived in the countryside. So it's something usual for me, something natural. So I'm used to take the car to get to the supermarket because the nearest town is 8 kilometers. So when I was younger, it was a little bit difficult, especially when I went to school because I had to take the bus. But after a while, when you have your car, you have complete freedom. So it's great.
Do you primarily do cooking classes now for the local Italians and for tourists? Or is there some other, or do you cater? Do you any other food service?
I just do cooking classes, but usually just for tourists. So probably 1% of my clients are from Italy and the rest is from abroad, usually from the US, from Holland, and from Northern Europe. Then I work with magazines, and so I develop recipes, I take pictures, I write cookbooks. But throughout the good season, high season, I do cooking classes.
So, you know, we're coming to Tuscany in March. Do you think you have time for us?
Yeah, sure. Tuscany March is really good, really good, because it's not crowded yet.
We're looking forward to it. We really hope we can get down and meet you and see you. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Let's talk about your blog. And when you have a professional career and you give up everything to say, I'm going to become a food blogger and I'm going to teach cooking classes, how do your parents react to that? How do your friends react to that? And how big of a step was that for you to say, you know what, I'm giving up everything I thought I wanted to do to really follow my passion?
So I was working in an office. I worked there for 4 years. At the end of my contract, they decided not to renew my contract. I was waiting for this because I wasn't brave enough to leave my job, since it was a good job. But I could not stand that office and that work anymore, because I really wanted to work on my own. So when I was, let's say, fired, or let's say when they told me that my contract was ending in a few months, I basically started screaming loud because I was really happy. And I met a few friends in the evening, and they thought I was like, I was having a nervous breakdown because I was so happy and screaming, and they thought it was something wrong, but I was really happy. My family, they were extremely supportive because they could see how I really wanted to create a new career from my passion. So they supported me in everything. They still support me every day since, for example, when I do a cooking class, there's my mother helping cleaning the kitchen in the morning or after the class, or my grandmother as well. So it's great.
What are the sizes of your cooking classes? Are they small and intimate? Are they large? When you give a cooking class, what are the sizes of your cooking class?
Small groups. So usually 2 people, sometimes 4, sometimes 6. When the group is larger, like 10 people, 12 people, I always go to a villa. For example, if they rent a villa, I go there because my kitchen is quite small. It can host up to 6 people.
Your story is inspiring all of those individuals who are just stuck in an office today listening to this podcast. And they're looking at your website and all the amazing food. Tell us a kind of a fun story of when you first started teaching people like Travis and I how to cook.
Okay, so my first cooking class was happened all of a sudden. We used to rent the house where I now live. We used to rent it to tourists during summer, and there was a couple. And they asked me for a cooking class, like, do you know anyone who's doing cooking classes here in the surroundings? And I said, me. So I do cooking classes every time. It's my second job. So if you want, I can come to your kitchen and we can have a cooking class together. And that was my very first cooking class. But I had to pretend it was something common for me, something usual. So I was trying to pretend to be aware of the whole process, but I was just going by heart, just inventing everything. And it was so fun. They enjoyed the class, but I enjoyed the class more than them. And I realized I really, really loved that part of cooking and that I wanted to do more cooking classes. Mm-hmm. In that moment, usually what do you do when you do the first cooking class? You choose something really simple. And I did not choose something simple because I decided to make nudi or malfatti, which are spinach and ricotta dumplings, which now are easy. But at the beginning, I was always praying they would not melt in the boiling water, because you need to pay attention to the amount of flour you use to make good dumplings. So that was really a challenge for me, but they came out great. So there was a sign that I could do that and I wanted to do that.
How much of cooking in Tuscany is seasonal? I'm sure you grow a lot and the markets are all based on seasonal vegetables and fruits and stuff. When you cook, are there certain things that are seasonal?
99% probably. So for example, I love avocado, and I buy avocado, which is not from here, and so it's not seasonal, but all the rest of the things that I buy and that I cook are seasonal. Just because Tuscan cooking is extremely simple, you use just a few ingredients, good olive oil, and you have a great dish. But to have that great dish, you have to use ingredients which are high quality ingredients. So you have to choose ingredients which are in season, either because they are less expensive, but also because they are better. So if you buy tomatoes in March, that would cost you a fortune, and they won't have the same flavor of the tomatoes that are ripened under the sun in August. Mm-hmm. So it's seasonal, 100% seasonal.
And Julia, do you actually take your clients to the market and help and sort the food, pick the food out together?
Yes, it's one of the options. So we go to the market. There are two markets during the week. So there are 2 days where we can go to the market and buy the food together. So we buy vegetables, we buy bread, and then we go to the butcher and we buy the meat, which is local again. And then we come back to my kitchen and we cook together for the cooking class.
Do you have a favorite? Do you like to do the main meal? Do you like to do desserts? What's your favorite part of a meal that you like to prepare?
So it's changing every time. Growing up, it was the dessert, because probably that was the only part of the whole menu which I was free to choose from, because my mother would cook all the rest of the menu and I was cooking desserts. After a while, I took over. So I started cooking fresh pasta, which is something I really love. But recently, I really love cooking meat, big pieces of meat, roasting meat. And in the opposite, I love cooking with vegetables because they are really versatile. You can do whatever you want with good seasonal vegetables. So it's really difficult to decide which is my favorite part of the meal. Probably now I would say vegetables.
When you get somebody, let's say us from the United States, that comes over and wants to take a cooking class, and they're all wide-eyed, they're excited. What's the most misunderstood thing about maybe Italian cooking or Tuscan cooking that people are like, oh, we thought it was this way, but it's not?
Oh, garlic. I realized they expect me to use a lot of garlic, but I use just a few cloves of garlic for the whole menu. Probably it's more French to use a lot of garlic. We use garlic, but we use also onion and fresh herbs. Or probably it's also my family cooking style, because my father doesn't like garlic. So I tend to use just a few cloves in the whole meal.
Travis and I are there in March. We come to the farm and you give us a class. Do we pick out the menu, Julia, or do you say, you know, it's March, this is what's in season, you steer us in one direction or the other?
So it depends on the kind of class. If we go to the market together, you are completely free to decide whatever we can have, as long as it's in season. But when you just come to my house, I have to go shopping first. So I tend to decide which will be the main dish, as I have to buy meat or fish. And then we usually decide together which will be the first course and which will be the dessert. So there are a few staple recipes that I make during the class, and then we decide together which will be the menu. Also, because I give also gluten-free classes, which are just for intolerant people, not for celiac people. So I want to underline this. And we decide together, so they can choose to make risotto or gnocchi without gluten. So it depends on their request. We can make some vegetarian or sometimes vegan. Tuscan cooking is not vegan, but there are many recipes which are perfect for vegan people. So it depends on the request and also on the season and what they have in the fridge.
I can be honest, Pat and I are going to want to do a bistecca. Can we do a bistecca with you?
not a bistecca, because... if I had to buy a bistecca, a big T-bone steak, I have to be sure that you are going to eat that.
Oh, we need it. We need it.
That's not a problem, Julie.
It has to be rare, because we do not cook bistecca completely. It's just pinkish. So we can make something else, like meatballs or nice cutlets, which are fried and cooked in tomato sauce. So we have many options. But if you request a bistecca, we can make a bistecca.
That may be one of the requests. Who's your bigger inspiration? Is it your mom? Is it your grandma? Where did your inspiration for baking come from?
Okay. So I have 4 or 5 people which are a great inspiration in different aspect of my career and passion. For cooking, well, it's my grandmother. So I learned everything from my grandmother. Cooking style, which is the approach you have to food and teaching cooking, is Jamie Oliver, because I really love his passion. I used to watch his programs on TV years ago, and I was really fascinated by the passion he had for food. So I try to transmit the same passion when I cook to my clients. And for writing, I have a few food writers which I really love, which are usually from the US from England, and which are a great inspiration for writing about food. So I have many people which are a good inspiration for me.
Before we began talking today, I looked at your website, which is fantastic, and the recipes and the video. It looks to me like you are just having so much fun cooking. There's a Christmas cookie video you have on your website, and my daughter watched it this morning, and she said, you know, that she's inspired now to make the same Christmas cookies in the way that you.
Oh, really?
You did, yes.
That's fun. Yeah, I really enjoy cooking. It's fun for me, and I think also I'm really, really lucky, because I can do what I want for a living. And it's really not common. So I'm happy. And I think you can pass on this happiness when you have this passion for cooking.
Did you ever take cooking classes? Or are you 100% self-taught?
100% self-taught. But lately I had a pastry course, because pastry is a little bit different from cooking. So it's more chemical. You have to know the ingredients and everything. And this afternoon, just after the class, I'm going to Florence because I'm beginning a new course on bread making. It's something I really want to learn. So it will be a new course. And probably at the end, I will be able to bake my own bread.
I think you need to come to the United States and we'll try to get you on the Food Network and you can have your own show. I think you'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Hey, you know, let's get to know a little bit about you outside the kitchen, because there's some really neat tidbits on your website that I found interesting. And that is that you used to read like every movie magazine there was. Yeah. Do you like American cinema or do you like all cinema? What are your favorite movies?
Favorite movie. So this is difficult. So my favorite movie ever probably would be Notting Hill or Pretty Woman. So it's really American movies. I really love Lost in Translation. I love Braveheart. What else? I love chocolate.
Oh, yes. Which
is a great inspiration for when it comes to chocolate. So I love this kind of romantic movies, but I love also thriller movies for everything with Julia Roberts. I really love Julia Roberts.
So where did that come from? Where did the love of movies and American movies come from?
I'm a dreamer. So I used to watch movies in the afternoon when I was a child, especially during summer. During summer in the afternoon in Italy, they always show you American movies, which are teenage movies, something dreamy. So this is why I started loving those kind of movies.
And at some point you founded a swimming fan club and traveled around Europe? Tell us about that.
I founded this fan club before starting swimming. I was not a swimmer. I'm really lazy, not a sportive person. But we started following swimming competitions. It was great because they were really honest and there were a few people around. So it was really an old kind of sport. No advertising involved, and all the swimmers were extremely, honest, and they had a lot of passion for what they were doing. So it just started growing month after month. We met many people in that in the swimming pool competition. It was fun. So it lasted for a few years, but it brought me around Europe following the Italian team and supporting the Italian team. So it was fun.
The more you traveled around Europe, did that inspire inspiration for your cooking? Because I'm sure you tasted a lot of different food and got to see a lot of different ways to prepare food.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when we went to Budapest for the European swimming competition, and I tried for the first time the Dobostorte. It was really good.
So if our listeners are traveling to Tuscany for the first time, and which city do you like to visit the most, Julia, and explore the restaurants and the markets?
Well, Florence. I'm from Colle Valdelsa, which is closer to Siena than to Florence, but probably Siena could be a one-day trip. Florence has a lot to offer, especially for markets. There are many markets, not just the big markets that everyone knows, like San Lorenzo, Sant'Ambrogio, but every small neighborhood has a market. And they are extremely authentic. So it's really something really nice to go and visit. And there are many restaurants, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful town.
Have you been to the United States? I know a lot of inspiration comes from the United States. Have you ever been to the States?
No, it's not yet. I would love to say not yet, because every year I plan to visit New York and every year I have to postpone it to the next year. So hopefully this year we will be able to get to New York.
New York's fabulous. You'll love it. But I promise you, as a guy who's been to New York several times, New York has nothing on Tuscany.
Yeah. But New York will be my first goal in the United States. And then I would love to visit San Francisco.
Both beautiful cities. But I tell you what, you are such a good writer. You're such a good baker. You've got a whole presentation. Your presentation of your pictures are wonderful. Your presentation on your website is fantastic. Do you spend more time writing and blogging, or do you spend more time cooking?
I think the same time. As long as I have a good light, I cook and I take pictures. Then, in the late afternoon, after dinner, I write. So since I've been doing this this is my fourth year, and yet I'm not able to have a good schedule or to be able to organize my job. So I find myself cooking until late in the evening or writing until late in the evening. but I'm still enjoying it, so it's not a problem.
Julia, thanks so much for your time. You are absolutely wonderful, fascinating, and I tell you what, I recommend that anybody check you out when they visit Tuscany, because it's a unique experience that I know they would enjoy and taste great food. Thanks for taking the time with us this morning.
It's great to visit with you, Julia.
Thank you.
You know, Pat, she said something in the interview that really struck me, and she said she's a dreamer. And she's made her dreams come true, and her passion really comes through in her food, in her presentation, and in the interview.
Yeah, you can tell she's having fun. She's doing what she wants to do, and I have to think that her cooking would be just amazing. The way she's taking guests to the market and picking out the food and doing it such a small setting, it'd be awesome.
You know, you always hear the stories of Italian families, and she really is living that, living in the home that she grew up in. She's there with her grandma. She's there with her parents. I love that her kitchen only has room for six. It really makes her classes small and intimate.
Absolutely. Let's go.
I think we have to go.
Yeah.
That will be on our to-do list in March. Of course, if you like this podcast, we want you to follow the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Make sure to follow us on our social media channels as well. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. We hope you enjoyed this Total Tuscany podcast, and we remind you to live each and every day as if you were in Tuscany. See you next time.